God bless you. Thank you so very much, Brother Melvin. And I consider myself very fortunate to be working in partnership with my daughter. And over the years as she's grown up, I thought she would be interviewing me to ask me questions, but she has many of the answers herself because she's involved in the ministry with me. So, Angela, say hi.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
And we're gonna get started by having a prayer. And basically, what I'm looking at is the Black church as actually being the savior of the soul of the Black community all the way back from some 400 years ago.
Amen.
And so we're just going to talk until we run out of time.
Yes.
Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together with Brother Melvin and sharing some information and just talking about what God is doing through the church and also what he's doing through the Black church. God, we thank you and we ask your blessings on our speaking today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's and Andrew, you can make mention of it too if you want, that just last night and also tonight, there's going to be a program on PBS. Mm-hmm. And say a word or two about that.
Well, there's a two-part series entitled The Black Church. And it's funny because the Lord actually gave that to you, Dad, some time ago. And so then it was confirmed through this program, KCET/PBS, about the importance of the Black church. You can just look it up on PBS, the Black church, and it is really a blessing.
It is.
That's what that is. So go ahead, Dad.
Yeah, I'm just going to mention a word or two to what we plan on covering today. And like I said, it's the savior of the Black community going back when we first came to America 400 years ago, actually 401 years ago now. And we just want to talk about it and let you know what we see and what we think we might see coming up for the Black church. And I'm going to let Angela lead this off. She'll probably talk about it a little bit and maybe ask some questions and we'll get with it.
Okay. Well, I think we'll just start right into the questions because there's so much that can be said about the Black church as it was known and maybe still known that way today. But it was truly the Black church back in the day because, you know, slaves or even freed Blacks were not allowed to worship with their slave masters and such. So it was called the Black church.
Right.
So I guess what I'll ask you, Dad, is for you to share with us why you think the Lord impressed that upon your heart to highlight the church as a part of Black history.
One of the reasons why that was such a thing is, brothers and sisters and all of you who are listening with us this morning, we just got to remember this. I don't care how you twist it, how you turn it, how you look at it, how you push it this way or that way, God lives and God is on his throne.
Yes.
And anyone who gets to Jesus and get to God through Jesus will have power beyond what they think they got.
Amen.
And so that's what happened to the Black. They began to build their own little churches. They began to go to church together. And the church seemed to be the safest place for Blacks to go. Because in those days, if a slave owner didn't like something that one of his slaves did, if it were bad enough, they could just catch him, drag him out there, and have a lynching party. Actually have a lynching party.
Wow.
And then still turn around and go to church. I never understand that. But it was the safest place, and the Blacks began to grow into that, and they began to build churches. And then they had a few slaves that got free, worked themselves free. And some of the slaves that came from the north, then after the Reconstruction area, after the Civil War and all of that, then they really built some very large churches. And what we find out is that many of our institutions, and this, some of this I didn't know until I began to really look at it. And that is to remember that some of the Black institutions like Morehouse came out of the church.
Wow.
People, that's who developed that. The AME Church, Clark's College, out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Spelman College, out of the church.
Amen.
Howard, some missionaries got together out of the church, and that's how Howard University, the great Howard University, got established, was really through the Black church. And then we find people like Oprah Winfrey, and I might mess up her name a little
bit. Oprah Winfrey, that's okay.
And actually came right through the church. And she will tell you in a minute how her parents took her to church. Her grandmother took her to church. Mm-hmm. And then you have Aretha Franklin, you all know, and her daddy was some kind of preacher. And by the way, this is another thing, and Brother Melvin, you're going to have to stop us. This is getting good to me here. Aretha Franklin's daddy, that brother was some kind of preacher, and he had a sermon that I still play today sometime called "The Eagle Stirs the Nest." Boy, C.L. Franklin could speak that sermon, Lord have mercy. So the humming preaching that we so look forward to among the Black church was a part of lifting the Blacks.
Wow.
Because we didn't have anything else to really make us feel good, or to make us feel like we had any power, or to make us feel good even when we know we had to be in that cotton field and in the tobacco field, and we'd get beat and everything else. But we could sing a hum of song. And I call it a song of the night. Good gracious delight.
Yes.
And these are the things that has lifted us through the Black church. Marvin Gaye, another guy, come right out of the Black church. The Clark sisters.
Yes.
Sinbad.
Sinbad.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Then go ahead on, laugh at me. That's all I got.
We love you, Dad. We love you.
How you say his name?
Sinbad. Like Sinbad the sailor. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he came out of the church. He had a very deep church.
His father was a pastor. Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Ray Charles, another one, come right out of the Black church. Johnny Conklin. These are great people in our nation today. Black people who came right out of the Black church.
Man.
And I'm just glad. I'm proud to be a Black man.
Yeah.
And my children and all of that, we had an opportunity to go back east. I took them back every year to show them where I grew up and the cotton field that I used to pick cotton in. But all of these things was a part of the product of the Black church.
I want to interject there, Dad,
all
in
right,
terms of the product and all of those people who lived and walked among us, and some of us, some of them are no longer with us, but their impact is ongoing.
Absolutely.
And when we talk about the Black church, it spoke to the hope in Christ. And
absolutely,
that's what was really something to me, because, you know, there was such this effort to try to keep slaves from knowing the love of Christ. They didn't want them to know that. They didn't
Very
want
good.
Them to know
Very good.
About the children of Israel who were slaves themselves in Egypt. And so, you know, as you said, Daddy, they took parts of the Bible out to keep them docile and to make them feel like, okay, this is what you need to get used to. But I so am just, I was just overjoyed to hear them say that those slaves, they felt connected with Christ because of his suffering and the whippings and the beatings and being wrongfully accused when he was innocent, and to know that he didn't stay in a grave.
That's right. That's right.
He got up, as they mentioned, and that's the hope. And what's also significant about that is, you know, coming from Africa, you know, there was ancestry worship, there was, you know, possibly Islam, I think, and other forms of religion. But when they came in contact with the truth.
Absolutely.
They
go ahead, baby.
Converts by the dozens, by the droves. And that's why the churches started expanding. Because they found hope in Jesus.
Absolutely. And,
wow. So with that said, let's talk about the role of the church now versus the role of the church after slavery or during slavery, after slavery. We know about the church in the civil rights movement with Dr. King and so forth. So, Bishop, as a leader of leaders that you are, and having pastored for over 51 years, what would you say is our part now in the 21st century? What is the role of the church, and where do you see it going?
Okay, we see the Black church in the early, when it first started developing, we see it all the way up into the 1800s. And we recognize that after the freedom from Abraham Lincoln came to be, then here come the Jim Crow laws, which started about 1861 or thereabout and lasted until 1965. And the Black church, through Dr. Martin Luther King and all of that, was able to get the Civil Rights Bill passed, which ended the Jim Crow laws. Now I see, and one of the things that happened is the Black church didn't have any at that day, but now you got over 300 denominations of churches.
Mm-hmm.
You got Black people in public office. You got Black people, some saying yes, some saying no, and some are being led all this way and that way, which has really scattered the church. So now I see the responsibility of us pastors to get together and call the real church together.
Yes.
And no longer can we call it to look at just the Black church.
Yes.
Now it needs to be the church of God, which is Black, which is brown, which is white, which is all colors.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who has been washed in the blood of Jesus, absolutely come together for the common good of the kingdom of God. So our responsibility is right now is to present the truth. And if we present the truth in such a way, the Holy Spirit will bring those who will be brought.
And then train them.
And then train them. Yes, he will. Yes.
Go back to our roots, you know, like
go
you
back
were saying,
to our roots.
Because in that day, the first Black church, they were training pastors.
They
training
did.
Preachers. And
in fact, to be honest with you, baby, that was one of the reasons why the Howard University was developed, to train preachers.
That's right.
And one of the things that the Blacks didn't do in the Baptist church You didn't have to worry about training. But in the AME church, the Methodist church, you have to have some education and training to be able to do that. And I'm thankful we see that we got 1 minute, but I do want to say that the Black church still has a role. Still has a role. And that is to love and not hate our white brothers and sisters because of what happened to us. We've got to spend time loving and forgiving. And that doesn't mean not look for justice. We still got to search and continue to insist on having justice.
Amen.
And I think I'll close with this. I think it was Malcolm X who made a statement, and it went kind of like this. He says, I support truth, and I don't care who tells it. And he says, I am in favor of justice, no matter who it's against. But he says, above all, I am a human being, I'm an American, and I'm looking for what is best for our community.
Amen. I want to just say real quick, you are instrumental in this community because it was through you that we had voted. We had our good vice president, Vice President Harris at our church in 2016.
We did have her there.
And it was God bless Darren Parker's soul, who's with Jesus now, but he would bring in people to speak to us. And then we got to make educated choices when it came time to vote. So, and I just thank you for making history as, you know, the first African-American to be voted into the Lancaster City Council. And opening those doors so that other people of color can come in and become employed and be valuable assets to companies. And it's a great thing. The church is viable thanks to people like you who obedient and willing to do the work wherever the work needs to be done.
God bless you. Thank you, daughter. The last Sunday in this month, we will be celebrating Black History Month. Live stream, 10 a.m. from Livingstone Cathedral of Worship. And we will have a monologue done by Sylvia Hearn. We'll have a dance team. And we will also have Lift Up Your Voice and Sing done by Angela Hearn. And I'll be bringing the word that morning. So that will be our celebration for Black History Month. God bless you. See you then.
Thank you, Brother Melvin.